WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Mike Johnson joins the growing number of Republicans urging the Attorney General to release files on the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Pam Bondi, I don't know when she originally made the statement. I think she was talking about documents, as I understood it. They were on her desk. I don't know that she was specific about a list or whatever, but she needs to come forward and explain that to everybody.
Johnson on the Benny Johnson Show podcast. A 22-year-old arrested in the murders of an American Idol executive and her husband at their home in L.A., LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan.
Homicide investigators, with the assistance of LAPD's Gang and Narcotics Division, FBI Fugitive Task Force, took that suspect into custody without incident.
The Pentagon's released half of the 4,000 National Guard troops sent to L.A. to monitor ICE raid protests, retired Army Colonel Peter Mansour tells KNX.
It's fire season in California, and those National Guard troops are going to be needed elsewhere in the state.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shali Pittman. Racine police are still investigating two separate fatal shootings that have happened since last Friday, but no one has been charged in either investigation. The latest happened early yesterday on 11th Street and claimed the life of a 37-year-old woman who got caught in crossfire between two other parties. And late last Friday, a 52-year-old man died after getting shot during an apparent burglary on St. Patrick Street. At a press conference yesterday afternoon, investigators encouraged people to come forward with any information, including cell phone video from early yesterday on 11th Street. Surveillance on the scene hasn't helped find a suspect yet. Violence interrupters are also encouraging people to use their services. Common Council President Maurice Horton, who is also the city's community violence prevention manager, says they offer things like employment and therapeutic support to help people break out of a cycle of violence. A power outage in Milwaukee on Sunday had an unexpected cause, a stray Mylar balloon, those shiny metal ones that are shaped like stars and hearts. Mylar balloons are coated with metal, which makes them conductive, which means they can cause a short circuit and cause power outages. And that's what happened on Sunday when a couple thousand in southeast Milwaukee lost power. State Senator Tim Carpenter is pointing to a bill from him and other lawmakers that would add a fine for releasing Mylar balloons. It treats releasing 10 or more of these balloons like littering and subject to a $500 fine. The bill was introduced in both chambers in the last few weeks, and it's still waiting to get a hearing. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shali Pittman.
Another win for the National League. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game, ended after 9 innings, all tied up 6-6. So for the first time, instead of extra innings, they had a tiebreaker called a swing-off. Batters getting 3 chances to hit a home run. Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies got hot, hitting all 3 out of the park to lead the National League 4-3. It's only the second time in 12 years the NL has beat the American League in the Midsummer Classic. And Brewers pitchers Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski each able to play in the game. McGill retiring the batter he faced, the Miz, 3 out of 4, allowing just 1 hit. NBA, now that the Bucks have signed center Miles Turner, do they still need to add a shooting guard like Damian Lillard?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I like our team. I really do. I like all the guys that we brought back. Miles mentioned it. Those signings were intentional.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Partly cloudy, warm, and humid today with scattered thunderstorms later this afternoon and tonight. And a couple of those storms could be strong to severe. Our high today, 84. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon. A lot cooler and less humid with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th.
Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling Best of Show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road for What Makes Wisconsin Great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. Our producer, Parker Olson, is standing by down in Madison, Studio A2. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram in just a sec. We'll have State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remicker joining us later this hour. But first, we finally get to visit with meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about a forecast that is, dark and stormy, I guess, is going to be the theme again today, huh?
Yes, it is. And that's going to be spreading throughout the entire state. So yesterday, quite a night up north, right? Flash flooding in Ashland, Webb Lake, Lampson. 5 inches of rain fell there in Solon Springs. So a good 1 to 3 widespread up there. Now that heavy rain is going to be moving through the rest of the state. I think widespread statewide, expect at least a half an inch. You could get near an inch. And the more storms that you keep getting under, you're going to be closer to 2 to 4 inches. Yeah, a lot of rain. So we've got a flood watch out for Wausau to Green Bay, all the way through the Fox Valley to Oshkosh and over to Wisconsin Rapids. That's where it looks like the heaviest hit of rainfall will hit. So flash flooding, definitely a risk as we go through this afternoon. And also high winds and tornadoes could be with these storms too. So a slight risk for areas from Wisconsin Rapids to Green Bay and everyone south, including Madison, including Milwaukee, everyone else. There is a marginal risk from Wausau to La Crosse, and up north, we're looking at normal storms. You should get a little bit of relief, but still, it's going to bring at least a half an inch to an inch of rainfall. So still flooding risks up north, ongoing. And this low pressure system is going to be swirling through the state today. Upper 50s, up north, that's going to be the highs, to upper 80s down south. So a 30 degree spread across the state, you know these storms are going to pack a punch when you have such a big temperature difference. That's what happens. So rain will start spreading in. It already is in northwest Wisconsin and far western areas right now. It's going to be moving in towards central areas, probably around noon or so to 2 o'clock. Madison, north central areas, you'll probably be getting those storms around 2, and then it moves into the Fox Valley, Milwaukee, and into the northeast, Northwoods, probably around 4 to 5 o'clock or so. It should wind down late tonight, around 9 to 10. Overnight, scattered showers and storms will continue, but those shouldn't be strong or severe, so you can go to sleep and not worry about it. And then by tomorrow, it will be clouds clearing, significantly cooler, highs only in the low to mid 70s statewide. It's going to be refreshing.
Very refreshing compared to what we went through yesterday. That was that was searing heat that we had at the time. So
you walk outside, you just start dripping sweat. That's what I was doing.
I am not a bit surprised that the storms are a little strong coming in because it's breaking up some serious heat out here. So Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the oops in the state budget, maybe you could call it, where Republicans maybe forgot to fund a homeless program for veterans, and whether a bill to follow up on it will fare better than the amendment Senator Smith and others were circulating during the voting on the state budget to say, guys, you forgot something here. But for now, there's a lot of people anxious and upset about this thing that Governor Evers wanted to continue funding that Republicans cut down to zero. So we'll talk to Senator Smith about that. And Corrine Hendrickson, a child care provider from the New Glarus area, talks to us about the personal impact to her because of what was and what was not in the state budget. So that's all coming up tomorrow. But right now, let's talk to Civic Media's Earl Ingram, who's got a new podcast as well. And we'll talk about some of what's in his latest edition of the podcast in just a moment. But first, Earl, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing great, thanks. I wanted to thank you for calling my attention to a new public museum that's going up, going to be called the Nature and Culture Museum downtown to replace the Milwaukee Public Museum. But they had this ceremony yesterday, the topping off ceremony, where it's like a steel beam goes at the very top of the building. All the dignitaries there and the crew, they sign the beam, and then it's lifted by a crane to the very top of the building. And I'm looking at the footage from Channel 12, and it fell out of the hoist as it was being brought up. Now, nobody got hurt. They quickly put it back in the hoist, and they put it in place. But that was some scary-looking video for what hopefully is a great new museum. But that's not exactly the way you plan a ceremony like that, Earl, is it?
Well, the ceremony, notwithstanding, Pat, I will tell you that the old museum was 140 years old. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, as a young child going through the museum, it had everything in it. It was one of the top museums in the nation for many years, but 140 years old is pretty old for any building, let alone a museum. And so they decided to build this new one, and the cost of it is a fraction of what you think cost should be for something like this. It's $240 million. Contrast that to the Pfizer Forum, where the Bucks play, which was built about 7-8 years ago for $540 million. And you kind of see they've had to downsize what they'll be able to show. It was a big fight about it, and as I drive past it and see the size of it, it really is probably about a fifth of the size of the old museum. But the architecture of it will set it, along the top architectures of any building in this country. It's going to be, they'll talk about it like they talk about the art museum in downtown Milwaukee. That's how beautiful this design is, and I can't wait to get a chance to get into that museum in 2027.
Yeah, so when they expect that, construction will finish on there for the new Nature and Culture Museum, and I know according to one news report saying, well, why can't they just call it the new Milwaukee Public Museum? Well, you can't, because it's not all public dollars that are going into it. It's a separate 501c3, and they don't want to confuse people. But again, it almost certainly will have the best of the Milwaukee Public Museum. And I guess what some things, if it's smaller, we'll just have to rotate in. And look, if that keeps your museum from getting stale, I'm all for that, because there are some museums that I've certainly seen over the years, and it's like they don't either. They seem to hardly ever change, or they change so slowly that, the museum itself becomes a museum relic. So I rather like that they're going to have this new canvas to build on. And I think it's going to be a real boon for Milwaukee.
Well, it looks like it looks like four beehives, mm-hmm, together on the outside. So, I mean, it's a very beautiful building.
Yeah, that's going to be really nice right there on North 6th Street, 6th and McKinley, which I wasn't going to mention this, but as soon as I said 6th Street, it reminded me of how the Trump bill that passed is getting rid of a whole bunch of money that was going to help out with that 6th Street corridor. And anybody that has driven downtown Milwaukee, knows the importance of having corridors that are safe and accessible, but also encourage commerce. And look, I'm not saying that it's going to be some kind of a fatal blow to downtown Milwaukee, but that was a nasty and unforced error on the part of Congress getting rid of that 6th Street funding.
Well, it certainly is nothing new, and I think people will say that across this nation, because it's happening all over this nation, and people need to be aware of what's taking place. It's one thing to see it on television and hear talk about it, but the tentacles are now starting to reach, you know, your neighborhoods and your community, and now you see the impact of what's taking place there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Earl's got a podcast series for us called What's Going On, and the latest edition of it is out. It's part one of a series that's called Is Your Water Safe? And you sat down with lead-free water activist Paul Schwartz. Can you tell us a bit more about what you guys discussed?
Well, I can tell you that Get the Lead Out is going to be a national podcast. We have the top scientists from across the entire world that we are going to be interviewing in an ongoing conversation about people and water and in this nation, educating people on what's taking place. And any building that was built prior to 1975, it's pretty safe to say that the pipes in those buildings contain lead. And so what we're trying to do is educate and make people aware of the inherent dangers of what is taking place in their cities all across this nation. It is not solely an issue in Flint, Michigan, and Milwaukee and other places. It's all over this nation. And the fact that we have a government that refuses to educate people totally on the inherent problems with lead, because they don't want to get stuck with the liability of all the damage that has happened, and the fact that they continue to produce lead piping today. And so that's going to be a national podcast that we are going to do many segments. Paul Schwartz is one of the founders of Get the Lead Out, along with Dr. Yana Lambert-Lambertini-Du. And so we're going to have the best scientists again across the world in conversations explaining exactly what this is.
And I'm really glad that you again emphasize that this is not just a Milwaukee or Flint problem, because we talked, was it last week or the week before, with Representative Angela Stroud from up in the Ashland Bayfield Superior region, and helped work out a deal for removing a lot of lead water lines in Superior. And the original Republican proposal was basically going to take the private water utility off the hook and, you know, stick taxpayers, you know, property owners with the entire bill. And goodness knows we're seeing, you know, either hostility or disdain from the legislature toward the Milwaukee project. And so if we've learned anything from what just happened in Superior, it's that you got to be paying attention full time to make sure that A, they stick to the goal of removing these lead lines, and B, that the costs are shared equitably.
Well, again, what we're looking to do is educate the entire nation that this is the fact that they're continuing to make lead plumbing, knowing the impacts of lead, and the fact that they continue to mine lead in the face of all the damage that it's doing to human beings is what we want to do. We want to make sure that people get outraged enough to know that their children's futures are at stake. And we have a nation that hasn't been forthright and truthful with the impact of what's happening with lead. And so if nothing else, the whole purpose of Get the Lead Out, the campaign that is we're hoping to go totally national with, is to bring pressure necessary to elected officials who are in a position to get this thing rectified.
Yeah, and again, getting the lead out should be a bipartisan thing. It should not be this hard. To learn more about it, listen to What's Going On with Earl Ingram, a podcast that you can catch over at civicmedia.us/shows, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Earl, thank you so much as always. Hope you have a great day.
You as well.
All right, thank you. A local break is coming up next for some of you, and others we will visit with Melissa Baldoff, and we will get this week's climate check coming up. Bit of a change of tone from Donald Trump when it comes to FEMA. That and much more still ahead. And then State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker when we're all back together in 15 minutes here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlaw. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Wrightlaw.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. On the table. Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Aren't
they? Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. We have been talking about the state budget being passed for some time now, and it's been going back and forth on what's good, what's bad. It's not perfect, and where people are really struggling with the issue at hand. So on Matt and Air on Air, we decided who better to talk about it than the recombobulator of news himself, Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. And he's going to give us a fresh perspective on what's going on with the budget, how it's going to affect people, and the work that needs to be done by those who feel like the budget didn't go far enough to help those here in Wisconsin.
So let's start with the budget aftermath.
Budget aftermath. Everything happened so quickly last week.
It really did.
That I feel like we need to still do some recombobulating a week later on the budget, because we just went right into 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. People forgot about things. And with how quickly so much happened, you know, there was nothing happening publicly, at least for a really long time in the budget process. And all of a sudden, Tuesday, July 1st, they announce a deal. And Wednesday, they're voting on it. And 1:30 a.m. Yeah. on Thursday, early in the morning, Tony Evers is there at the Capitol signing the budget. So
because really,
we've been on the air talking about this for weeks beforehand. And it was like, what are they going to do? I don't know.
And the last word was kind of like, everybody's just going to walk away and nothing's going to happen. And we're going to revert to the old budget.
Right.
And on top of all of that, when it happened, the word from Republicans and the word from Tony Evers was, this is a good thing. We've got some stuff here. There's something to work with. It's not perfect, but it's a good start.
Bipartisan compromise.
Yep. And then other people start talking, and we're, because the first day we're like, this is great, and then we start reading tweets, we're like, oh no, is this not great? And then we start hearing from Trisha Peterson, Corin Hendrickson, and it was like multiple whiplashes, because at first it's like, oh, the budget's done, it's signed, okay, it's good, that's great, it's bad, oh no, what, tell me how to think.
Well, nobody is the clear winner in this. There's neither side can say, yep, we got everything we wanted, because that isn't what happens.
That's the nature of compromise, the realities of divided government. You know, we have a Democratic governor and a Republican-controlled legislature, and we're not everybody's going to be happy with every deal that is struck. But I think, you know, it's just interesting. There's a number of interesting elements of it. One that's kind of like returned to the news cycle this week with our pal Derek Van Orden taking credit for the deep breathing, Greg, to get through any Derek Van Orden talk. You know, saying that he is the reason that Wisconsin is so, like, they were racing to meet this deadline.
Yeah.
So, because they needed to get this done before the federal budget got passed.
Right. Okay. So they needed to make this change for the hospital assessment reimbursement rate that applied to Medicaid. It's a complicated thing, and we can get into the weeds on that maybe in a different time. But they needed to meet this deadline in order to get about $1 billion that would go to largely help hospitals in Wisconsin. Never mind that they've ignored, the Republican-controlled legislature has ignored expanding Medicaid for the very same, under the very same logic path for a decade.
Well, and isn't the Joint Finance Committee still sitting on that hospital money?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we were talking about earlier. He has this quote against the protesters saying the Democrats just don't want to admit that Republicans saved Badger Care. The one big beautiful bill allowed Wisconsin to have a 6% provider rate tax rate, giving $1 billion additional dollars to Badger Care. There is also $500 million plus up for rural health care, which that sentence sounds wonderful. Coming out of Derek Van Orden makes me go, what?
Where's the catch?
Why didn't you talk about this before?
Well, and here's the thing with this, though. Like, Van Orden is obviously being ridiculous with what he's saying about the budget here.
And his giving himself credit.
And giving himself credit. Yeah. Maybe he was being advantageous in that final stretch there, sending this letter and making it public, saying that, like, oh, I had some sort of role in this. But what was happening was that they were trying to meet this deadline because the federal bill was going to be cutting Medicaid and not allowing for states to make these types of changes. What I don't get about this, though, is like, of course, you can have this back and forth that's happening this week between the governor's office and Derek Van Orden and like blah, 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 blah. Who said whatever? And Van Orden obviously being ridiculous, again, to be clear. But at the same time, I kind of question why this issue didn't really emerge publicly at all until the deal was struck. And it was like, OK, we got to do it. We got to get it signed now. We got to get it signed in the middle of the night. We can't wait. We got to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So as we were talking about, like, there was kind of nothing happening on the budget for, like, long stretches of the month of June. Their budget deadline is June 30th, but as we were talking about at the time, it's kind of a soft deadline because not that much will change as far as they do, you know, pass a budget soon, right? I wonder where was the urgency with getting this $1 billion for the weeks beforehand? Because all of a sudden it emerges that we got to do it. And did they know about this? This provision in the big beautiful bill, were they just kind of sitting there hoping that it would get voted out?
Did DVO get a last minute heads up from somebody?
Was there? Well, I mean, who knows? Like, and you know, as they were voting on the, like, I know that in the Wisconsin state legislature, they were following along with what was happening federally, and like that's why Evers was there at 1:30 in the morning to sign the budget. But what I question is just like there seemed like this larger lack of urgency, and if this Medicaid funding issue was an issue throughout the whole negotiations, like, why the lack of urgency the whole time from the governor's office, from the Republicans who wanted this funding and wanted to make this change apparently in the final stretch here? Why no urgency? All of a sudden it's the biggest issue and we have to do it now
But there was no urgency and nobody talking about it publicly for like weeks and months before that.
We always love having Dan on the show, and you can catch him on Matt and Air on Air every Friday in the 10 o'clock hour to recombobulate the news. And if you want to get some great Wisconsin coverage, award-winning coverage, check out the Recombobulation area. You can subscribe right now. It's very, very affordable, and it gets you that really important reporting, that journalism that goes deep into the topics to talk about the issues that are affecting us and our community. So you can go and subscribe to the Recombobulation area. You can also subscribe to our shows as a podcast, and then it will be delivered to your device every time a new episode is available. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shali Pittman. State investigators have cleared a Racine police officer in a fatal shooting that claimed the life of 50-year-old Marlon Anderson in May. The State Department of Criminal Investigations has been investigating what led up to his death and released its evidence and report yesterday. The shooting happened on Franklin Street after a chase when Anderson crashed his Mercedes when driving away from an officer. And as he exited his car with a gun in hand, officers said he raised it to his own head. That's when Racine Police Officer Benjamin Iden fired 10 shots, killing him. Anderson had a warrant recommendation for felony battery. Police had spotted his vehicle on camera entering the city. The Racine District Attorney says no criminal charges will be filed against any of the officers involved. And there's a new project underway featuring stories told by families in Wisconsin. The subject? How their lives could be impacted by cuts in the federal budget. Terry Barr has more.
Sandra Goldschein with a campaign for a family-friendly economy says most of the people she's talking with for this new storybook have never thought about speaking out in the past.
Brave people who are stepping forward to share really personal details about their own lives and how they're going to be affected by the actions that are coming out of Washington, D.C.
Goldschein is asking in particular about cuts to Medicaid, Head Start, and SNAP. She says one story for the book involves a family who refinance their home before their daughter receives support through Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. They fear the loss of these programs could lead to the loss of their home. Goldschein is now planning to pass all the stories collected directly to lawmakers representing Wisconsin.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shali Pittman.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Emmy nominations are in, and here are some shows nominated in the Best Drama category. Andor from Disney+, Netflix's The Diplomat, HBO has three nominees with The Last of Us, The Pitt, and White Lotus. Hulu's Paradise, and rounding out the nominees are Apple TV's Severance and Slow Horses. Not a weak link in the bunch. Nominees for Best Actress in the drama series include Kathy Bates for Matlock, Sharon Horgan in Bad Sisters, Bella Ramsey in The Last of Us, Britt Lower for Severance, and Keri Russell in The Diplomat. Best Actor nominees in a drama series include Gary Oldman for Slow Horses, Adam Scott in Severance, Noah Wiley in The Pitt, Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us, and Sterling K. Brown for Paradise. And when it comes to the outstanding scripted variety series, you've got to like your chances, as there are only two nominees, Last Week with John Oliver and Saturday Night Live. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly cloudy, warm and humid today with scattered thunderstorms later this afternoon and tonight. And a couple of those storms could be strong to severe. Our high today, 84. Tonight, 63. Tomorrow, cloudy in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon. A lot cooler and less humid with a high of 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt
Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it. And we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Chris Larson. We discuss how to bring Democrats together and have productive disagreements. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tomorrow, we will be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the state budget bill, especially the item that was missing from it. The one that would have funded homeless veterans programs here in Chippewa Falls and elsewhere, and whether anything can be done to save this before closures have to take place. We'll also talk to Corrine Hendrickson, a child care provider from New Glarus, on what was in the budget, what was not in the state budget, and the impact it's going to have on her and her future plans. That was the state budget. There was also the federal budget reconciliation bill that passed recently, which is going to do tremendous damage to families and others in Wisconsin. A lot of people would like to tell their Congressman Derek Van Orden about it in Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We can't seem to rip him away from his Twitter machine long enough, where, as I'm looking at his recent feed, and by the way, the unofficial motto of this show is we read Twitter so that you don't have to. Still just slinging insults at everybody and misleading on the bill. But if folks in the 3rd District would like to sound off about it, there will be a town hall in the La Crosse area this evening. And here to tell us more about it and all of his other new job duties is the new state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Devin Remicker. Devin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Pat. Appreciate it.
And belated congratulations as well on your election at the state convention, succeeding Ben Wickler. What's your take on, I don't think the orientation was that tough given your prior experience with the party.
You know, my pitch was ready on day one, given my 7 years of working at the state party with both Chair Wickler and Chair Lanning. And I think I was ready on day negative 14. I started right after the convention, dove right in to get ready for that July 1 official date. We've been up to a ton. And the first thing on our docket for a big public event is this town hall this evening in La Crosse, holding Derek Van Orden accountable for the awful bill he voted for.
Right. And this is far and away not just a solo affair with the new state party chair. There's going to be a lot of folks who are going to be showing up there who represent the area, and I would argue represent the area better than Congressman Van Orden does, who have been watching the harm that this bill is going to do, and they're going to be talking about that tonight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Senator Path and Representative Johnson, I'm also going to be joined by La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair William Garcia to talk a little bit about, you know, the impact from the state. But really what happened, and the reason we're holding this town hall, is that Derek Van Orden has simply refused to engage with his constituents. I believe he tweeted 75 times over the weekend. He has been burning up the Twitter machine. I saw him tweeting at around 12:30 a.m. Today that he wanted to be placed in Trump's hero garden, whatever that is. And I mean, that's, you know, ultimately what happened here is he voted for a bill that is going to take away healthcare. It's going to take away SNAP. It could potentially close a hospital in his district. One of the hospitals in his district was on the chopping block from this bill, and he is simply hiding. It's cowardly, and we want to make sure that folks have a chance to tell people how they feel and share the impact that this bill has had and will have on their lives.
The impact on the 3rd Congressional District, I mean, is not small. There's people that think, well, this is just a sliver of the population. We're talking tens of thousands of people in the 3rd Congressional District alone impacted either by Medicaid or by SNAP, nutritional benefits, things like that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're looking at 30,000 people. I mean, think about that. That is a pretty big city in the state of Wisconsin losing their health care, potentially losing their access to food, potentially, on top of all the other knock on effects. And I mean, really, what we have is this is all being done in service of enriching the already wealthiest people in this country. I mean, really, this is just a gut punch to the working class in this state. And Derek Van Orden not only supported it, but celebrated it. He cheered the loss of healthcare and food access for the folks in his district. And I think, you know, voters deserve a chance to be able to share how they feel about that, both now and hopefully next year when they vote him out of office.
Well, and on top of all of that was the kerfuffle from, the state budget passing and the congressman being a bit, shall we say, I don't know, either misleading or talking out both sides of his mouth in terms of, you know, supporting something and yet trying to warn Governor Evers at the same time about what was coming, you know, from this bill. What was it that was in this bill that, you know, Derek Van Orden thought he wanted to warn the governor about and yet supported it anyway?
You know, they really started a fire and then offered to help put it out. I mean, Derek Van Orden is, I'll cut through it. He's lying to his constituents. Ultimately, he sent a letter urging the governor to make some changes and sign the budget that would, you know, help ensure Medicaid access in this state. When he's the one and his party's the one who's put it in danger in the first place, not to mention the fact that Republicans in the state of Wisconsin for years have refused to expand Medicaid and bring our taxpayer dollars back to this state to help more people have health care. And I think that, you know, that sort of I think misleading is a generous term for what to me seems like a pretty knowing lie to the voters in Wisconsin. And I think that he is taking voters for granted. I think they can see through it, and we're going to make sure that they know what the facts are.
Although now to do that is what leads us to events like tonight's in La Crosse and beyond, because, I mean, it almost goes without saying that the Republican strategy for 2026 will be to, what, create distractions, anything, and count on other people to stop talking about the impact of this bill. But I can just say from a radio host standpoint, much less anybody involved in politics, there does not appear to be a shortage of people who want to come forward and talk about the importance of these programs that their tax dollars paid for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that tonight, you know, we're going to hear the truth that people are scared of what's coming. We've already heard Medicaid recipients whose caseworkers have called them and told them that their health care may be reduced or cut because of this bill. So although, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity to be able to tell this story, it's really important to remember that these are real people that are being impacted already. And even if they haven't had the benefit cut, just knowing that that's hanging over your head, knowing that you might have to worry about where you or your family is going to get health care or your next meal from, that's something that no person deserves in this state. And unfortunately, Derek Van Orden and his Republican colleagues in Wisconsin are the ones that have enabled this situation.
Now, is this town hall something that people can still register for at this point? And if so, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just go to mobilize.us, search in La Crosse, should pop up right away. If you just sign up there, no cost of admission, feel free to come on down. It'll be at the Pump House Performing Arts Center in beautiful downtown La Crosse.
All right. So people can gather there and, again, share their stories and, you know, again, look for some kind of alternative, shall we say, to Derek Van Orden. I mean, there are certainly three candidates involved in the race right now who would like to replace him. And that really says something, doesn't it? That, I mean, three people have already come forward to challenge Van Orden in the 3rd District.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that he has really, really, made a mess of his representation of that part of the district. I worked for Congressman Ron Kind for 4 years. And, you know, I saw somebody that held listening sessions in every county, in every part of the district, every single year to make sure that he was consistently hearing from folks, incorporating it into how he represented people. And Derek Van Orden is just more interested in playing Washington, D.C. political games and trying to score points on Twitter with Elon Musk and Donald Trump than he is representing the people of Wisconsin.
Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court recently turned down a request to look at the congressional maps, which is, you know, not to say that that's the, you know, the complete end of the subject. There's another lawsuit that's out there pending. But I bring it up because, again, we're stuck with the lines that are there. They are certainly gerrymandered compared to what they were, you know, more than a decade earlier. But for folks that have seen Derek Van Orden win two times already, even if we keep these same maps in place, how winnable is the third district for a Democratic candidate?
Well, I think it's incredibly winnable. And I mean, we even saw that the candidate last year was able to outperform the top of the ticket. And I think that, you know, we, especially in these midterm elections, the electorate is a little different than we've had in presidential years. And I think it's an electorate that's more favorable to Democratic candidates, especially in the third congressional district. And I mean, I think that this bill counts for a lot. I mean, you know, part of what we are working on at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin through year-round organizing, but also expanding into our 72-county strategy, is going to be making sure that we are really telling the story of how bills like the one Derek Van Orden voted for have impacted people's lives and win back voters who may have lost trust in us, our candidates, and help make sure that we're able to restore some sanity to the state and this country in 2026.
We are talking to new state Democratic Party Chair Devin Remicker about an event taking place in La Crosse tonight, a town hall, about the Trump budget reconciliation bill and the damage it's going to be doing in Wisconsin. And I hate to bring people down further, Devin, but I mean, this was one shoe. It was a budget reconciliation bill, and they're already moving into next year's fiscal 2026 budget bill. It probably won't be done in time by October 1st the way it's supposed to be, but we do know that already the Trump administration and Republicans, they're looking to make even more cuts in next year's fiscal budget bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they will stop at nothing to pick the pocket of the working class in this country. And I mean, that's what this is really about. It is about, you know, finding every way to squeeze profit and wealth out of what used to be public goods and public services provided to people and put it in the pockets of billionaires. And I mean, I don't think that they're going to stop. I mean, I just saw yesterday it reported that the Winklevoss twins, who sued Mark Zuckerberg after he, you know, worked with them on Facebook in its early aughts, have invested $1 million to try to essentially prop up a Republican candidate for governor here in this state, Bill Berrien. And, you know, to me, I'm just getting flashbacks of our Supreme Court race early this year when another Silicon Valley billionaire tried to buy an election in the state of Wisconsin. But really, this is about control and power so that they can extract wealth from the working class in this state and across this country. And I think people, just like they did with Elon Musk when we overwhelmingly voted for Susan Crawford and rejected that in April, are going to do the same thing next year.
Devin Remicker, the new state party chair, is our guest. And yes, we mentioned that earlier with the Winklevoss twins being the primary supporter of Bill Berrien at this point. And we talked to Josh Shulman, candidate for governor at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And he was asked directly by Todd Alba if he needed Donald Trump's endorsement. And he rather skirted past it. And so he did not completely take the Tony Weed view of, you know, tie yourself to Donald Trump as tightly as possible. But I wonder, with the early entries into the governor's race, if you think that Donald Trump's endorsement is going to carry weight or not in this governor's race next year.
I think it absolutely does carry weight. And I think that it's going to be a race to the bottom for these Republican candidates to appease Donald Trump. I mean, you know, Bill Berrien himself he donated to Nikki Haley in the 2024 presidential primary. So I think he has a lot of making up to do with Donald Trump. But I think that both of them, and along with anyone else who gets in, are going to be competing to show who is most loyal. Not to the state, not to the country, not to the voters, but to Donald Trump. And look, I mean, this is what his agenda is. It's enriching the wealthy at the expense of the working class. And I think that process of trying to win the primary by winning his favor and supporting him with undying loyalty is going to be ultimately what ends up backfiring on the big time next year.
Devin, is there a streaming option for the for tonight's town hall, or is that just an in-person only affair?
I believe it's in person only.
Okay. All right. I had that question on the text line, so I thank Tiffany in River Falls for putting that in. Devin Remicker, new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Devin, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it, as always. Take care.
All right, you bet. And coming up next is a local update for some of you. Others will stick around, and we'll talk to James Kelly about the stories he's following here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. On the table. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Really?
Pretty much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by US Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. It's the middle of the week. We want to get an accurate forecast, so that's why I brought on Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist, to give us the update on not only what's happening for the rest of the week for the weather, but also the story she's working on, which you can find at civicmedia.us/news. Thank you so much for joining us, Brittany. From what I understand, we got storms on the way.
Yes, we do. Oh, my gosh. After the such a hot, humid last few days, now we've got the front that is moving towards us. So heavy, heavy rain up north yesterday. Now that slight risk of strong to severe thunderstorms is targeting us today. So we are looking at the risk of potentially some damaging high wind gusts as this line moves in. We could see at 60, 70 mile per hour winds doing some damage, knocking out some power, taking down some tree limbs, and a tornado is possible too. just stay weather savvy. I hate that this is a risk that is still continuing into the season, but it is there. As this line moves in, we could see an embedded tornado with that. And I think the arrival is going to be around 6 o'clock or so this evening. Plus the chances for heavy rain, a quick half an inch to an inch is not crazy. So flash flooding is still a risk too. That's what we got moving through today. But after that, some cooler temperatures. It is going to actually feel much more comfortable, much more refreshing. No more major humidity really for us. And temperatures highs are going to be in the low 70s as soon as tomorrow, mid 70s on Friday. And then we're going to climb back towards 80 as we go into the weekend. But a dry day on Friday, more showers and storms, though, do want to start to spark back up as we go into Saturday and Sunday. More likely on Saturday, less likely on Sunday. But I will say, as we go into next week, it's active. We're going to be getting hit with more and more rain and showers and storms. So flooding, definitely a risk. I mean, last week, this week, next week, it's a hit all at once.
And Brittany, when you talk about being weather savvy, I know that we all like to think, especially in Wisconsin, because we see all kinds of weather, you know, storms, tornadoes, right, and whatnot. But being weather savvy is still about being aware, looking at your phone notifications, watching the news, taking heed of what you and your colleagues tell us to do when it comes to being safe, staying indoors, driving differently to adapt to the weather. I mean, that's honestly being weather savvy, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's being on top of it, knowing what's going on, making sure that you have those warnings and alerts in some way to get it when you need it. Because sometimes these storms move in faster than, you know, the TV or radio thinks. You want to make sure you have a way, you know, a weather radio, the emergency alert system on your cell phone, stuff like that. And of course, you want to be prepared too. So the better prepared you are, I think the easier it is to take a hit from a strong storm. So again, just do all the things you need to do. Get that emergency kit together. Have the plan ready to go. It may seem silly at first when it's sunny and hot and normal during the day, but when the storms are rolling in and emergencies are ticking and closing in on you, it's best to have a plan, because you kind of lose your mind a little bit when an emergency happens. It's stressful. It's frustrating. It's scary.
It's very easy to say, oh, I've got it handled, when there's nothing right going on. The moment something starts to go on, then you're like, oh, no.
Yep. So just do what you can now to avoid that. So this evening and the rest of the summer is good to go.
Is there anything else you're working on for Civic Media as far as your stories? Because you not only give us the weather updates, you're not only a wonderful multi-award winning meteorologist, but you also work on stories about the weather, environmentalism and climate change, things of that. Is there something that's brewing in the hopper right now?
You know, what I've been kind of working on a little bit here and there is just this increased amount of moisture in the air and how we're getting heavier rain events, more rain events. And then when we're not getting the heat and the humidity and the rain, we're now switching over to the wildfire smoke seeping in. We're kind of seeing a pattern here over the past 2 years, and I'm really digging into that. And plus, I'm also doing another story on EAA Oshkosh and camping. There's many, 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 many hundreds and hundreds of campers, RVs, tents, people, volunteers. I mean, there's already 500 volunteers out there right now, and we're not even to the week yet. So a lot of people at risk as these storms roll through. So really focusing on them and what can they do when they're in the tent? Where are they going to go? What do you do in an RV? Ways to help them while they're outside trying to survive the weather.
Excellent. I'm going to use that moment, that reference to EAA, to do a little plug, because Jane Matinair, myself, will be at EAA this morning talking about the events going on. So tune in. We're on from 9 to 11. And then Todd Alba from 2 to 4 will also be there during our big tour around Wisconsin. But yeah, EAA is our first stop and we can't wait to see it. And we're looking forward to meeting the people. And it's a huge event and it's very, very exciting. So thank you for teeing up that wonderful, wonderful segue.
You're welcome.
You can always catch Brittany Merlot here at Civic Media. You can catch her on Matinair on Air Thursdays at 10:20. But just go to the website, civicmedia.us/news, to find her stories. Brittany, as always, thank you for giving us the update. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Of course. Thank you, Greg.
As always, we love having Brittany around to tell us about the weather and just hanging out, because she's fantastic, and we really appreciate her expertise and her time. Once again, go to civicmedia.us/news for all the stories that Brittany is working on, as well as all the other stories our reporters are working on. And also, we have amazing journalists from all over the state reporting on the news that concerns your community. And a way to access that news is by downloading the Civic Media app. It's free, and all you need to do is go to the Apple or Google Play Store,
Search Civic Media, and you can install it into your device right now. And that way you can customize the app to get you the information you want, whether it's sports, news, weather, and that way you are getting the news that directly affects you. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For more information, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. Have an absolutely wonderful Wednesday, and stick around because after the top of the hour news break, you're going to be tuned in to Matt and Air on Air live from the EAA in Oshkosh. You don't want to miss it. Again, have a great Wednesday. It's 8:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Johnson adds his name to the growing list of Republicans urging the Attorney General to release the Jeffrey Epstein files. Pam Bondi tells CBS News she will not bow to calls for her resignation.
I'm going to be here for as long as the president wants me here, and I believe he's made that crystal clear. It's 4 years. Well, 3.5 now, right? We've got 6 months in.
Vice President Vance, the tiebreaker, as Senate Republicans advance a bill to claw back $9 billion in federal funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting. South Dakota's John Thune.
Clearly, this is something that all of us believe is a priority. When you've got a $36 trillion debt, we have to do something to get spending under control.
This will be the first full day of testimony in the murder trial of a Colorado dentist accused of poisoning his wife's protein shakes. CBS's Natalie Morales.
Jim Craig had told his business partner and friend he ordered the cyanide for his wife, but he didn't think that she would actually take it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.